Who doesn't have a preaching hat? Okay. Let's get this on. But seriously, you guys all look awesome. It's awesome. The fireplace, the working fireplace in your stomach is just amazing. Yeah, thank you guys for having fun with us this morning. This is going to be hard to preach in, but this is why Jordan had me preach today. let's roll our clip.
What was that you said?
I believe. I believe. I believe.
I believe. This is the climax of this movie. It, all through the movie, we see the hero boy, as he's called, trying to figure out his beliefs in Santa. He's gotten to the age where he's questioning if Santa is real. His parents, at the beginning of the movie, are wondering if the jig is up this year. Is this the year he doesn't believe anymore? It's Christmas Eve, and like any child, he's excited for Christmas, but he's not sure what Christmas is calling, like what Christmas is about anymore. Is it about Santa? Is it about the gifts? So on Christmas Eve, he's visited by a magical train that's filled with children around the same age, probably going through similar crises of belief in Santa. And they're all going to the North Pole to see this person that he really doesn't believe in. He's got, there's a scene towards the beginning of the movie where he has newspaper clippings of children pulling the beard off of Santa just different things that prove Santa isn't real. And when he sees this train and the conductor says, "All aboard." "Yes, where are we going?" He says, "To the North Pole, of course, to see Santa." And he hesitates. He's reluctant. But he does. He seizes the moment to get on the train. How does it work for us? How does it work for us in our belief in God? Is it similar? Is it, do, like when you, some of you came to Christ, came to that belief in God, were you reluctant at first? Did you have all these newspaper clippings of why you didn't believe, why it didn't make sense? What is that noise? Is that the fans? Okay. Or did you quickly seize the moment when it came, when you were presented with the gospel? Did you quickly snatch it up and believe? Like so many of the other kids did on the train. The movie goes through so many scenes and we see them while they get separated from everyone else, and they follow, two of the children follow the sound of the bell. And the hero boy doesn't hear it. He doesn't know why they're following the sound. He doesn't hear it, and he's not sure why. But what is faith? What does it look like? What does it sound like? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." Well, that's interesting. If you've seen this movie, you know that throughout the entire thing, this boy is presented with, he sees. I mean, he gets on this train that goes through ridiculous tracks and it goes on ice and it's crazy. But when they get to the North Pole, he sees elves, he sees the buildings, he sees the gifts, he sees the reindeer. He even sees Santa, not fully, but he sees Santa right before that scene that we just watched. And yet when he picked up the bell, did you hear what it rang with before he took the time? It said doubt. It rang with doubt. And I think many of us, we have some doubt. I mean, why wouldn't we? We live in a crazy world. Bad things happen. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, I had a sermon on just how bad things can get and how we're supposed to trust in God. And sometimes that brings doubt. But even though he saw all that stuff, it still wasn't enough. And sometimes it isn't enough when we see great things happen to believe. It just isn't. Sometimes, much like Gideon in the Bible, in Judges 6, we're looking for a sign from God to step out in faith. Gideon takes, well, when he's first confronted by God to lead this grand army, but he says, "Prove that you're God." Like, a magical person showing up out of nowhere isn't enough. No, it's not. Seeing isn't believing. And so he asks for fire. He sets up an altar and he asks for fire to consume it. And it does. Okay. So he goes and he's asked to tear down an altar to another god. And so he goes and does that in the middle of the night, afraid that God isn't going to protect him. So then God again calls him to build this army, and I don't know, God. If this is really you, let me put this fleece down, and if it's wet in the morning and the rest of the ground is dry, we're good. No, that's not what happened. The next day, he saw exactly what he asked for. God placated him and said, okay, here you go, Gideon. Like, do you believe me yet? No. So he asked for something. He asked for the opposite. He asked for, well, let the rest of the ground be wet and covered in dew in the morning and the fleece be dry. Well, that happened, but was it? He still, like, he did what he was told, but it didn't really inspire the faith. It was just a magic trick. Really cool, and God pushes back on Gideon when he actually goes and does this, and we see he has like 30,000 troops, and God cuts it down to 300 and tests Gideon's faith in him at that point. He turns the tables around. It's like, do you trust me now that you have 300? But faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. You don't need faith to know what's right in front of you. You don't need faith to say, oh yeah, that's Franklin standing up here in this weird getup and jingling and whatever. You don't need faith. All that is knowledge. And faith isn't knowledge. I mean, that's why the Israelites had so many issues. They believed in God when he was there, when he was right in front of them, showing him his power. They believed him when he was a pillar of fire, you know, leading them right in front of them. But when it came to believing him when he wasn't there, I mean, it wasn't 2 months after they had left Egypt. And we see them say this: when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. And that's from Exodus 32:1. Does that happen with us? The moment we step out of here, or the moment we don't see God, we're like, well, I don't know where he is. The moment that hard part, like that hard, the hard parts of life hit us, I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on. Moses, Jesus? Who's this Jesus? I haven't seen him in a while. Well, but again, faith when you can see what's going on isn't faith, it's knowledge. Going back to Hebrews 11, faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. Surely the reality that the Israelites hoped for was not Egypt. Was it? I mean, that they were promised the land of milk and honey, but they hoped for Egypt? The moment, see, that's not faith. They had the knowledge that they had lived in Egypt. They had the knowledge of how to get back to Egypt. They weren't living by faith. Part of the reason why this is so important, especially at this time of year. I mean, this is the time of year that the first candle that we light for Advent is hope. And the hope that we Christians are supposed to have is one of faith. It's not just some sort of happy optimism looking for the best in our circumstances. That's what the Israelites did, and the best thing they could come up with was, I guess Moses is dead, and let's worship a golden calf now. No, hope, biblical hope, comes from looking at God's past faithfulness. Because even when we're faithful, God is unfaithful. It says it right in 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. God is faithful. He's faithful to us. Can we be faithful with him? So even if we aren't faithful, God gives us hope of being faithful himself. Faith gives us confidence in those things that God that we can't see. Faith is simply taking God as his word. The root word in Greek for faith is to persuade. So when in the New Testament, when we're talking about faith, we're talking about being persuaded by the Holy Spirit and the promises that he gives us, that prompting that the Holy Spirit gives, and God's word. If we go back to the movie, the boy didn't take the conductor at his word. Why, we're going to see Santa, of course. He didn't believe his surroundings. He talked. Everyone on the train talked and acted like Santa was real, but the boy didn't take them at their word. Even when he was at the North Pole, he still wasn't persuaded. It was only when he was confronted by how clearly this was all very real and how his unbelief meant that he wasn't going to experience what he was being shown. He saw it. Everyone cheered and roared when the reindeer came out and with all their bells. And the kids were saying, "Do you hear it? They're so beautiful." And sometimes we as Christians take that for granted when we're around unbelievers. We're like, "Do you see God? Do you see the things? It's so beautiful. Do you see the promise that he has for us? It's so beautiful. It's so amazing." But others can't hear it. They can't hear the bells of God ringing. And part of the problem is we just say it. Part of the problem is a lot of times our actions don't show. Where our faith is. You see, throughout the entire movie, the boy's actions are based on his unbelief. He gets on the train not because he believes like all the other children. No, he gets on because he wants to prove once and for all Santa isn't real. Even at one point, he says, "This is a dream. This is a dream. It has to be a dream." When he's confronted with a life or death situation. All of his actions, just like all of our actions, are pushed forward by what we actually believe in, where our faith actually resides. James talks about this in chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. "My Christian brothers, what good does it do you if you say you have faith, but do not do things that prove you have faith, can that kind of faith save you from the punishment of sin? What if a Christian does not have clothes or food? And one of you says to him, goodbye, keep yourself warm and eat well. But if you do not give him what he needs, how does that even help him? A faith that does not do things is a dead faith. Someone may say, you have faith and I do things. Prove to me you have faith when you are doing nothing. I will prove to you I have faith by doing things. You believe there is one God? That is good. But even the demons believe that. And because they do, they shake. You foolish man, do I have to prove to you that faith without doing things is of no use? Was not our early father Abraham right with God by what he did? He obeyed God and put his son Isaac on the altar to die. You see, his faith working by what he did, and his faith was made perfect by what he did. It happened as the holy writings said it would happen. They say Abraham put his trust in God and he became right with God. He was called the friend of God. A man becomes right with God by what he does and not by faith only. The same thing was true with Rahab, the woman who sold the use of her body. She became right with God by what she did in helping the men who had been sent to look through the country and sent them away by another road. The body is dead when there is no spirit in it. It is the same with faith. Faith is dead when nothing is done. So where is your faith taking you? Are you getting on the train? Or are you going to almost miss it? Are you going to actually miss it? Is the conductor going to call, all aboard? And are you going to get on? Are you already on? Do your actions show this? Are you excited to see the things of God? There's a famous quote by a man called Brennan Manning. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out of the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Our actions are a reflection of what we truly believe, of where our faith is. That's part of the reason the Bible says for us to have faith like a child. Think about it. When a child truly believes in Santa, it changes their actions. They act a little better, at least around Christmas time. And they want to leave cookies and milk out for him. Because Santa's got to eat. So what does your faith show when you leave this place today? It's the Advent season. We light these candles that represent four biblical principles that were fulfilled by the birth and life of Jesus Christ. And that we, as Christians, who have that faith in God, are supposed to live out. How often do you exhibit the hope, joy, peace, and love that these candles represent? And, I mean, to be fair, I'm in the same boat in a lot of cases. But there is a way that if you have some faith and belief, in this man we call Jesus Christ and this God that we believe in. To be persuaded by the Holy Spirit. And it's to spend more time with him. To spend time in the Word of God. See, you can't have faith in someone if you don't know who they are. I mean, how many people here would, you know, do a trust fall with the person down at Dollar General? Like, I mean, if they know who they are, I guess. But if you don't know who they are, then you're just like, eh. Or how about this? How many of you who have young kids would let just some random person that you met on the street watch them? Probably not. No, because you don't have faith in them because you don't know who they are. Well, it's the same way with God. We can't trust him with the big stuff if we don't get to know him. And how do you get to know God? Well, again, spending time with him. Spending time in the Word with God, but also trusting him with stuff. You know, you trust people that you've just met with little things. You trust people that you've known your whole life with big things. We can't have the actions that James is talking about if we don't even know who they're for. The Polar Express ends with this quote, and I think it's very apt. At one time, most of my friends could hear the bell, but as years passed, it fell silent for all of them. Even Sarah, his sister, found one Christmas that she could no longer hear its sweet sound. Though I've grown old, the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe. Would the bell ring for you if it was Christ's? Or would it ring with doubt? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.